Good morning. So we're going to continue our series together on mission. We've heard about various aspects of our mission as a body of people. We've heard about our worship. We've heard about connecting with the apostolic. We've heard about several other things. Today, what I want to do, if this works, yes, I want to look at our mission in the workplace. Now, I want to interpret the word workplace in the broadest possible way. For some people, it's quite clear there's a place you go to from, say, 9 to, say, 5, say, 5 days a week. But for other people, there's other things. So, for some people, you are at home bringing up children, and so my middle bottom picture there is supposed to be parents outside the school gate representing that. For other people, you are either retired or unemployed, and perhaps you're doing some volunteering work, so I have a picture of somebody volunteering in a food bank there. Other people are students or still at school. There's many, many ways that you could be your workplace, but it's what you do when you're not eating, sleeping, cooking and cleaning that I'm thinking about. So if you spend all of your time doing all of those things, well, perhaps you need ministry. But so please don't feel excluded by the word workplace if you are not in what could be classed as traditional work. Okay? But it's about the influence and the purpose that God has for us in whatever it is that we do when we're not eating, breathing, cooking and cleaning. And eating. Did I say that? Good. So that's the general thing. And I also want to interpret mission as broadly as possible, because we know that we have the mission from the Great Commission of to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as we were doing last week. But God has a plan, and he wants a people who will fill the earth and bring glory to him as he does it. And part of the earth is the place where you work. And so you being there is a part of extending God's kingdom. So that's part of your mission to do that. And the format is I want to look at four Old Testament characters and talk about one aspect of how in their workplace they fulfilled the mission of God. I want to then apply it to each of our situations, and you can think about how that might apply to you in different contexts. And then, just to help you do that, I want to give an example from my own life that would illustrate that point. That's not because my life is any more special than anybody else's. It's simply the person I know the best. Okay? So that's where we're going. And there'll be an opportunity to get prayed for at the end. Good. So our first person we're going to think about is Joseph. So to just briefly recall the story of Joseph, he was a bit unpopular with his brothers, and so they sold him into slavery. Things started to look up a little bit, even though he was a slave, and then he was falsely accused of rape, and he was sent to prison. And while he was in prison, he interpreted some people's dreams, and as a result, he got released and ended up being the most important person apart from Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, and as a result, was able to save God's people from dying in famine. Right? So God's mission for Joseph, among other things, was to be in a place where he could save God's people from famine. However, in order to get there, he had to go through slavery, prison, false accusation. And these are his words from Genesis 45, verses 4 to 5. Joseph said to his brothers when they were reunited, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But now don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. So even though he had lots of bad circumstances of slavery, prison, false accusation, yet God was in that and bringing his mission, which was to take him to a place where he could actually fulfill the mission he had. And so there are different things that we could be going through. And I know that there are people in this church who are undergoing all of these things or have done so. Unemployment, false accusations, prison, failing businesses, job insecurity. All of those things are very real and they happen to many people here or have done in their workplace. If I'm describing prison as workplace, which is perhaps slightly stretching that. So if you are going through or have gone through these difficult circumstances, don't think that God has abandoned you. I loved Ross's story of him walking away, but God saying he was right behind him all of the way. Because it could well be that God is putting you into a position, using these circumstances to put you into a position where he can fulfill his mission that he has for you. So I said I would illustrate this from my own life. Chris and I spent 10 years or more on short-term contracts. Every year there was either my job or her job was on the line. It was very hard. We were in situations where it was not likely that we would be getting new jobs or contracts. For three of those years, I was without a salary. I was working but without a salary. That meant all sorts of other things like not having very much money. Also, I don't know if people who experience this feel like for yourself. Whenever people got introduced to us, they would automatically look at me and say, "So what do you do?" And that didn't exactly help my self-confidence when I said, "Well, actually, I don't have employment at the moment." And actually, I was living in a foreign country where I wasn't even allowed to work. And I was being supported by my wife, and that raises all sorts of, particularly among Christians, raised all sorts of issues. But anyway, we got through this. So it was hard. That's the illustration from my life. But yet, I saw God provide employment and direction. And some of the stories I can tell you about how God opened the door for me, they're hair-raising stories. I mean, at the time, you just live through it. But then you look back and you think, did I really live through that? And I can say, without a shadow of doubt, that the job that I now have, I am in because God opened doors miraculously time and time and time again. And so whenever I'm tempted to feel pleased with myself or to think I've got there by myself, I have to remember, no, it was God opened doors for me that would otherwise have been closed. And that is a place of great security when you know that you're in a place that God has opened doors. Just like Joseph, there were times of difficulty, but that yet when he became the most important person in Egypt by Pharaoh, he knew that he didn't actually get there by his own merit, but because God had placed him there. And for each of us, God has a purpose for us in our workplace, whatever that is, however broadly we want to interpret it. And God wants to lead you. And sometimes there will be difficulties along the road. So God can use all these things to fulfill his mission in our life. Our next character is Ruth. She was gleaning in the fields. Now that is an Old Testament version of using food bank, which is why I've got this lady with food bank there. And perhaps that's, you can see the traditional illustration and then my modern take on that. But yet, in the middle of that situation, which was again a hard situation, God's purpose for her was to bring her into, even though she was a foreigner, bring her into the bloodline of Jesus. And through that, and there was a key individual she needed to meet in that circumstance, and that was Boaz. So there's a quote from Ruth. I mean, it's difficult to find the exact quote, but there's a whole lot. But through her gleaning, she met Boaz, and that opened the door for God's purposes for him, for her, and for him, in fact. So our mission and the people who we meet through work. There are many people here who became Christians through a work colleague. Or have had a work colleague has had a major influence on their lives. And we also can have a similar influence on people who with whom we work. God can bring significant people into our lives in the work world. He can open doors for us to fulfill our mission, often through people who don't know him, but they're actually acting as God's instrument to open doors in the workplace. And we even have a slightly impersonal version of that, in that this building has been used to bring people here. We heard from Wendy's testimony last week about coming here to this building with Cubs, and that was her road into church. This building even can be a significant thing that we can use to bring God's kingdom into people's lives. So my story on this one is, when I came to university, I was just like Ross was talking in his testimony. I was so pleased about that testimony. I was walking away from God. But he had other plans. On my first evening at university, I didn't walk very far, right? I couldn't last it 5 years. I met a guy called Rob Collins. He was in my college, he was on my course. And my second day at university, I discovered he was a Christian. And through a story which I won't bore you with, I basically said, yes, I was a Christian as well. He became a key influence in my life. A couple of months later, it was him who prayed for me to be baptized in the Spirit, and I spoke in tongues because of him praying for me. He was a key individual in my life. And I met him because he was a student in my college on my course. So that was in that stage of my life. That was my work environment. And God used a key individual to bring me through. I could name other people, but that's my example in that case. So God brings people across our path to lead us onward in our mission. My third example is Daniel. So he was taken into captivity, into an alien culture and an alien environment, not according to his plans, but that's the way it worked out for him. He started out being trained, which you can imagine as being like an ancient equivalent of being a student. And then he was working as what we would now call a civil servant in under King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, when Daniel arrived, he decided that he was going to make a stand for being righteous in his workplace. There was lots of food, rich food and wine that was to be given to these I guess you would call them students, these young men. But much of that would have probably been sacrificed to idols, and he knew that was not a good thing to do. And so he said no, he wanted to just have water and vegetables because he didn't want to defile himself by the culture of the alien culture in the workplace around him, and he wanted to stand up for purity and holiness. And his boss was a little bit unkeen about this, because actually if he ended up looking ill because of this, that would have been bad. The boss would have got probably his head cut off or something. They don't quite have such practices in the workplace these days, fortunately. But yeah, Daniel, at the end of this trial period, was more healthy than the other people who had been eating and drinking the king's food. And finally, at the end of his time, which is almost like a graduation time, and we've got some people here today, I guess, who are going to be graduating in the next couple of weeks, nobody could be seen to be better than Daniel. He, by standing up for God, God had honored him and had raised him to the top of that group. And so we, in our workplace, this can be an alien environment. It can be an alien culture. There can be all sorts of negative things in our environment. On one side, it can be that there's lots of unrighteous practices going on, people being economical with the truth, to quote a phrase, or downright lying, as I would, as I was brought up to say. People who are being dishonest, people who are treating people badly. It can also be things like use of language or drinking or other things in the culture can be a negative influence on us. And yet, the Bible says that we're not the tail, but we're the head. And that we can actually stand against these things and we can have an influence on the negative aspects of our work environment. For many people, because of the position they're in, they cannot speak directly about their faith, because you would end up getting into trouble or losing your job. However, you can, by your actions and by your character and by your integrity, you can still be a witness for God in everything that you do. We can change the culture of the workplace that we're in. And we can just be an example, a good example. And isn't it great when you're just being yourself in God and suddenly somebody says, you're so different from the other people who work here, or you have been able to bring this positive thing to bear. We can also pray for our colleagues and for our work environment. I regularly pray for my employers that they will be blessed simply because they have been a blessing to me by employing me. And that is the simplest thing that we can do. And actually, if we pray for our boss, for our colleagues, for those we work with, people who maybe clients or people your work helps to deliver things to, we can see change. We can see God come and bring change through just us being in our workplace. So I always try to pray for my employers and for my colleagues. I also try to come against some of the negative aspects of the culture. So for those of you who don't know me, that I work in the university, I'm a maths professor, and there is in the university, there's several people here who work there will agree with this, there's really a culture of nothing's ever quite satisfied. We're always going after the next grant, the next thing, there's a culture of nothing being quite satisfying, and you're always striving for more, and people will be devalued if they don't get that next grant or they don't publish this next paper. Whereas I try to always make sure that I value people, I appreciate the things that they do, I encourage them, and so by creating a positive culture, I hope that I'm able to then have a positive influence on the people I work with. So here is a great quote. This was, in fact, I got reminded of this in our small group a couple of weeks ago. A quote from Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel, and where necessary, use words. And our lives in our workplace can preach the gospel just through being people of integrity, people who care, people who show appreciation, people who have good character. Oh, somebody agrees with me. My final character from the Old Testament is Esther. Now, she's in a job that I guess nobody here ever will be. She was the queen. But she got that position through quite a rigorous selection process, if you read in the book of Esther. But while she was there, she was able to exercise influence. There was a plot to come against God's people. Again, these were people in exile. But Mordecai, who was her connecting person, he realized what was going on out there, outside the palace, and he came, he told her, maybe the reason God put you into the palace here was for such a time as this, to exercise influence and to see this plot against God's people confounded. And so my point here is that God gives us influence in our workplace and through our work environment. So in the church here, we have people who have influence in the world of education, of health, research, journalism, business, and charities. Those were things I could think of off the top of my head. I can look out and I can see other people who I haven't named. We have people who are having influence at a governmental level on foreign nations. We have Hannah, who is on the last 100 to go to Mars. Now, that's the ultimate church plant, as far as I can see. That is certainly some influence that she has. But whether it's at that level, or it's simply the people in the sphere around you that you have influence with, or by what you do, you can create, for some people they can create a policy, or that they can make openings for righteousness and for justice and for peace in their work environment. As well as those societal things, we have people who are working with social issues. People who are involved in charities that deal with adoption, debt, homelessness, addiction, mental health, refugees. These are all places that we can have an influence for God in our workplaces. And for some of those, that's by volunteering for charities because they don't have the burden of having to go to work and earn money, so they have the time in order to do that. There are many ways that we can influence society. So this lesson came home to me a few years ago at North Bible Weekend, where one of the speakers in one of the seminars was Philippa Stroud, who's become involved in national politics. And she was talking in her seminar about the influence we can have and listed a whole lot of different jobs that had influence. One of them was, she just reeled out this list, there was one that was people working in universities. And it just went thunk straight inside. Just the way somehow, if you experience, God suddenly speaks and suddenly it goes right in. And I thought, what? I know I deal with my students and my colleagues. I didn't perceive that I had influence in society. And then God was gracious, and in one of the following sermons at that Bible weekend, he started to unpack this when there was a sermon all about reaching out to the poor. And I realized that just because of the way God's made me and the opportunities that I have, I had been reaching out without realizing that I was doing that to people who work in universities in developing countries. And I was actually exerting quite an influence without realizing. And somehow God joined all these dots together and showed me actually that was something I was doing and that it wasn't a coincidence. And this was part of a bigger plan. So then after that, I've been, to use that horrible word, I've been intentional about doing that. And I've sought opportunities to reach out, either to the poor in developing countries or to places where the church doesn't have a high profile and are hard or closed to the gospel. A few weeks ago when I was preaching, I talked about the fact that Chris and I are going to be in Tokyo for 9 months to a year. I'm viewing this as part of the influence that I can have through my workplace. So those are examples from my life that maybe you can think of ways that you can influence others, either just because that you work alongside them every day, or because you actually have a way to look outwards and give opportunities to people. So that's all about mission, but the title of the series was Together on Mission. And we are all part of one body. And the famous verse from 1 Corinthians, if one member suffer, all suffer. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you're all the body of Christ and individually members of it. So we can't all do all of the things that that people in the church do in terms of having influence and mission in their workplace. But we can support one another. So in all of those four characters, there was somebody who was behind the scenes who was absolutely key in that person fulfilling the mission that God had for them. They weren't the main character, but they were a vital supporting character. And I think I stretched it slightly with Joseph, but the chief cupbearer, who was the man who, while Joseph was in, well, both of them were in prison, Joseph interpreted his dream that he would be restored to his original job. He forgot about Joseph, but then when Pharaoh had a dream, he remembered, and he was instrumental in taking Joseph from the prison into the mission that God had for him. With Ruth, it was her mother-in-law Naomi who was able to give her wise counsel as to how to proceed and to fulfill her mission. For Daniel, there were three other people who, in the passage that I quoted there, were given their Hebrew names, which are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but better known by their Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were alongside Daniel in the same situation. They have their famous story about the fiery furnace, but Daniel wasn't alone. There was a group of people who could support him in everything. And finally, with Esther, there was Mordecai, who was able to give her wise counsel in that situation and alert her to this issue with the plot against God's people. So we can all be part of one another's mission in the workplace, whatever that may be. We can all support one another. Some people have more time and others, some people can support in practical ways. We can all pray for one another. At the very least, we can ask each other, how are things going in our workplaces, however we want to interpret that broadly as possible, and we can see God's kingdom come. So what we're going to do is that we're going to, very shortly, the band are going to come back. We're going to then have a time of prayer and ministry. There are some people here who are students who are graduating, and this is your last Sunday. Other students who perhaps you're not graduating, but you're going to be disappearing for several months, and perhaps doing internships or exciting travel or working in mission in some way. and we would like to pray for you. So Ali is going to be down here, and so those people who are students for whom this is your last Sunday, if you could go to Ali, and I'd like the ministry team also, when we start the song, to also come down. And for anybody else who feels that they want support, perhaps you're going through difficulties in a work context, perhaps you're going through difficulties of other sorts, that's also fine. Maybe something that was spoken about in one of the prophetic words has resonated and you want prayer, we're always happy to pray for you. Other people who want support in whatever way, or somebody just to come alongside them in whatever the mission that they have in their workplace, there'll be ministry team people available for you. So could the band come, and we'll go back into worship, and I would like ministry team people to come down now, please. And good.